Father, tonight we trust for a miracle of encounters. A miracle of wine, a miracle of bread. We trust you tonight. We ask that you help us tonight. Amen. Have your seat in God's presence. Good evening, everyone. Would you tell the person beside you good evening? You know, these 21 days, we might think is just, you know, within, it's the Father that summoned us. Huh? It's the Father that what? Summoned us. This is the summoning of the Father himself. So, it is the Lord that has summoned us, right? It's Him that has summoned us. And it's because there are things He wants to give to us that only Him has those things. The things He wants to give to us, nobody else has them. That was what Peter was saying when he said that only you have word of life, the eternal life. I want you to engage these 21 days with a little different spirit, a bit different. Because I will be decreasing so that He might increase. So what that means is that I won't try to be professional in my communication. And I won't also try to use my gift anytime I feel like, you know, because the meeting is a different kind of meeting. There are some meetings that requires that. But this 21 days is different because we have come to meet with the Lord. So when we come to meet with the Lord, it's imperative that everybody steps back. Do you understand that? So that God can manifest. And so, don't get bored if I'm not very exciting. Do you understand that? Because I'm not going to try to be exciting. I'm just going to try position myself in a way where the Lord Himself can minister to us. You see? Because I am beginning to sense, you see, if I told you I knew everything, I'll be lying to you. If I told you that I knew everything God wanted to do for these 21 days of the line. Some of these things, we just step in by faith. It's after we have stepped in, we begin to see, you know, God begins to let us know better, you know. So, this afternoon, whilst I was in the office, you know, I was just, you know, the way I seek God's face. That's the way I seek God's face. So I was like that. And the Lord took me to in Genesis chapter 22. And he said that that is what I should look at today. So that's what we're going to look at. But before then, let's check First John. You don't have to go there. We can just have that on the screen, you know, just to further emphasize the protocol that is governing the fellowship that we have tonight. In the book of 1 John chapter 1, John made a statement that I just want to use to buttress the points that I just made. It says that which was from the beginning, you see, when you encounter the reality of God, one of the challenges you would have is a challenge of definition. Are you with me? You'll go through the challenge of definition. You see, when you haven't met him, you can describe him with words. But when you meet him, words become inadequate. And then you don't know what to use to describe him anymore. And then those are the periods where he becomes a dart. Are you together with me? It becomes a dart because you don't know what you are dealing with. Is he a spirit? Is he a man? Is he God? You don't know what you're dealing with. It becomes a dart. Are we together here? So you see, there are things that are not only logical things are real things. There are things that supersede greater than logic, and they are even realer than the real things. Are we together, friends? Sometimes that is the basis of our engagement. And that's why a lot of people don't know God. Because they want to box him into their logic. And then when they box him into their logic, what they get is lifeless religion. It's beyond explanation. It's an experience you are sure of. You see? It's a sure experience, but you can't explain it in textbook. Praise God. Hallelujah. Are we together, friends? Amen. Amen. So that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen, which with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life, for the life was manifested. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you what again? That. You see, that. It's sometimes when that thing gets naked to you, it's a that. Eh? It's a that. Not because you don't know him, but you don't have the tool of expressing him. Praise God. Becomes a that. Are we together here? Yes, that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen, heard, declared we unto you. That is different from the first that. This second that is the English that. The other that is not English that. That is experiential that. Inexplainable that. But realer than what you can even explain. That you may also have fellowship with us. What's he saying? This thing is real. And we have heard it, right? we have seen it, and then we declare to you in words, but we know that our words fall short. We declare words in hope. And the hope of those words is so that you also may have fellowship with us. That even though we are all believers, there is an experience the apostle and his colleagues were having. And it's their hope that the other believers will have that experience. So it's not enough to say you are a child of God. You need to also investigate which table you are feeding from. It's like there are different tables. There's a particular table that is a dart table. It's called that. And the apostle is saying that I really desire all of you guys to experience this reality. It's my desire. And that is why I am declaring to you. That's the reason for the preaching. So when the preaching goes forth, when the apostle preaches and your brain captures it, it still doesn't mean you have captured it. Because he's preaching from a life. If I describe my house in words, it doesn't mean you have been there. Are you together with me? It doesn't mean you have been there. I can tell you, you know, some people can drive cars with your mouth and they will be correct. They'll say, put it on park. Put your legs on brake. You start the car. While your legs are on brake, you put it on reverse. The car goes back and then you move. You know, those days of manual cars, people could even draw. They'll draw it out to use it, that this clutch, this brake, this, what else? Accelerator and all of that. But it doesn't mean you can drive a car. You might try, you might be able, but the day you drive a car, you'll find out that what you wrote down is a bit, is really on paper. The possibilities of going to hell or heaven in nanosecond. By the time they put you on Todd Mellon Bridge, you'll be thinking of heaven or hell sometimes. Like, yeah. You see. But you knew it on paper, right? But a fellowship with it is another level. So say, we declare to you. And the reason is so you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So the question is this letter not written to children of God? Eh? How come they are still putting me as regard fellowshipping with Father and Son? Eh? Are we not born again? I said, ah, we're all born again. We're all fellowship with the Father. Apostle John said, there is the experiential one. Huh? Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom. But except he be born of water and of spirit, he will not have the ability to experience it, to enter it. Praise God. Hallelujah. How many of you have seen London before? I mean, who hasn't? How many of you have seen Old Trafford, the field? I've seen it. But except you are born of visa and ticket. He cannot what? He cannot enter. You need visa and ticket to what? To enter. So, God orchestrates experiences for us so that we can have access into the realities that describe the basis of our faith. Are you together with me? A lot of us, though born again, are still fellowshipping. We are more at home with the fallen man. Your subconscious captures and appreciates the fallen state more than the realms of the spirit and the realms of glory and the realms of power. And so the reason why John was writing and ministering is he's hoping that the people may have fellowship. And we also see something similar to this in Philippians chapter 3, where Paul was speaking about some expressions, some possible experiences. In Philippians chapter 3, can we look at it? I don't know if there's anybody here who believes that we are gathered unto the Lord. I want you to know that it's as practical as I just said it. This gathering right now is unto the Lord. I'm telling you the truth. It's as naked as that. It's as what? It's as naked as that. This is not Bible study. This is different. There is Bible study. But this one is different from Bible study. When God told Moses that he wants to speak to the people, that they should go and prepare themselves and come to the mountain, what kind of service is that? Is that prayer meeting? Yeah. Is that prayer meeting? You know, that's not prayer meeting. That's not prayer meeting. That's a real moment with the Lord. Uh-huh. So this also is like that. It's not Bible study. And so that is how you should engage it. And say, Lord, I will not let you go unless you bless me. I think we have a song like that. Do we have a song like that? Sing it. Let me hear. I will not let you go. I will not let you go. I will not let you go unless you. I will not let you go. I will not let you go. Does he have another part? I will not let you go.
I will not let you go. I will not let you go. I will not let you go. Oh, let you
go. I will not let you go. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So you see, when there is a desire to ascend spiritually, the reason for that desire is because the Spirit has been poured forth. Anytime there is a desire for the people to experience the Lord, it's because the Spirit has been poured forth. And that's why so hunger for God is a gift of God. It's not a decision. Anytime there is hunger, it's because the Spirit has been. He said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Why? They shall be filled. And when they are filled, they will not stop to hunger and thirst after righteousness, because the blessing is in the hunger. Because if they stop to hunger, then it means you are no more blessed. Because it says what makes you blessed is that you are hungry and you are thirsty for righteousness. And you know, it has a smell. Yes. Revival has a smell. Whenever people are seeking for God, it has a smell. The atmosphere has a smell. You know, immediately we got here into the service, after some minutes, I went straight to 8 years ago when I had an encounter with the Lord and he began to tell me, get the people together. I want to meet with them. And that's the exact experience, you know, that is going on, you know, in this room. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So I want you to, by the peace of God, I want you to feel, to feel the movement of heaven, because your destiny is about to be born.
Yeah.
It's about to be born. Until you appear before God, you cannot even know who you are. It is our appearing before God that bears the revelation of who we are, which then brings legitimacy to our lives and gives us the wisdom to be accurate in all our engagements. You see, the fallen man is still falling. So if you don't latch on to the new man in Christ, you'll be in a falling state. And everything, you see, it's not just man that fell. You see, because man is the governor of the earth. So immediately man fell, the earth fell. A man is still falling. And so the earth is also what? Still falling. I saw on someone's status where they said a particular nation announced that sex will be a sport. Yeah. A sport. Praise God. To be a sport like football. So man is still falling. Do you understand? It's on a decline. It's not shocking us. It's not anything they want to do, let them do. If they say murder is a sport, that's their business. So you can see that until you arise as a spiritual man, you will be falling, and everything that is committed to your hands will fall. The fallen man is inherent. He cannot plan to rise. He cannot. It's inherent for man to fall. He cannot plan. It's like the sun desiring to be cold. So when you retain the former man, you are going to be experiencing what? Decline. But when God by mercy helps you to latch on to your spiritual man, what will happen? You will flourish. And then the very reason why God cannot communicate and commit things in some people's hands is because the life they are living by is still the fallen one. And so God knows that anything that joins to them, what will happen to that thing? It will fall. It will fall. It is the byproduct of these things that makes me make sure nothing falls in my hand. Yeah. That's why I don't like things to fall, even naturally speaking. That's why I plan to always repair a scratch in my car. Because anytime I see the scratch for long, I remember the fallen nature. Yes. I don't like my norm to break and I leave it like that and my children will meet it there. I'm aware that things are falling. Everything wants to be destroying. And before you know, your environment is a shadow of itself. A lot of us, our lives remind God of Genesis chapter 3. Because the way we do life, God remembers what happened, the fall of man. So when you look at the book of Philippians chapter 3. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
I hope you are not letting go of that wave of the Spirit. Huh? Are you latching onto it and following it? Yeah. That's how to attend this kind of meetings. You look for the wave and you latch onto it and you follow it. And with your heart. Your heart must be quick. You must have a quickened heart. Where you mix hunger, passion, receiving, you mix everything, and then you are intense from within. And that is how you drag whatever is going on. You drag it to you. Because the feeling is not based on the availability of righteousness. It is based on the hunger and the thirst, which is the posture of the soul. Now, move to verse 8. Let's read from verse 8. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. I be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, and the righteousness which is from God by faith. That I may know him, right? And the power of what is... Somebody say me.
Me.
The assumption that you have known all of him is a very disastrous one. That what... I mean what? Me. Me. Know him. The question is, does Paul not know God or know Jesus? He does. And the proof that he does is that he knows he does not. The power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from dead. Not that I have already attained, or I'm already perfected. But what? I press on. And why do I press on? That I may lay hold of that for which Jesus has also laid hold of me. So there was a reason why he willed you. Now you need to willed the reason why he willed you. It's not enough to say, thank God I've been willed. It's that, why did he willed me? I need to willed that thing. He said the passion and the intensity with which Jesus got me must also be the same intensity with which I get the reason why he got me. So you see, not trying to imagine your dream or your purpose after salvation is an unserious thing. Just salvation itself has put purpose upon your head. Yes. Are you together with me?
Yes,
just to be saved is enough purpose.
Yes,
you can't be saved and your purpose will be doctor. You can be doctor without salvation. And you can be lawyer without salvation. You can't be saved and be house of rep. You understand? The blood of Jesus cannot be relevant for 4 years. Are we together here? So there is a reality that is beyond the natural, that is the premise upon which we are saved. Are my friends here? And it is this reality that brings you into spiritual authenticity. So, and lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Therefore, let us, as many as am at all, have this mind. What's the mind that we need to lay hold on something? We need to break through into a fellowship. It says, let us as. So it means that not all of us are mature. And this maturity is based on what we are seeking, which is experiential fellowship. It says, if you are mature, you will have this mind. And if anything you think otherwise, I won't tell you are immature, but that's it. According to Paul, God will reveal even this to you. So anytime a people have this revelation, is a portion of God. He's saying you are going to have an experience where, so anytime you see hunger and people begin to incline themselves in this direction, it is God that revealed it. They didn't go and search it out. So you see that the reason why we are here is because God has revealed something to us.
Yes, sir.
Are my friends here?
Yes, sir.
Now, this communication that we read in this conversation we have seen in John, we have seen it here in Philippians, is also the same in Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3, starting from verse 1, this is the same conversation we see. If then you were raised with Christ. Are we together here? So there is an attitude that proves authentic salvation. Because you see, when you use the word if, you are describing something as though it's conditional. That so it is okay and it is theologically accurate to doubt a man's salvation.
Yes, sir.
The Bible gives us the room to doubt someone's salvation.
Yes,
that it don't matter if the person is speaking in 85,000 tongues.
Yeah.
We need to find out what he is seeking.
Yes, sir.
That if this person is not seeking the things that are above, then we need to go back and question, did he really rise?
Yes, sir.
Because there are a lot of people who did not rise in Christ, but went through workers in training. If truly you rose in Christ, nobody will push you.
Yeah.
Nobody will encourage you.
Yeah.
Ah! Now let me ask you a question. How many of you are encouraged to be alive? I don't know. Did anybody have encouragement to wake up this morning?
No.
Now, question, when you woke up, how many of you know Mr. Nainjadi? Which are the signs that a human being's alive, right? What does M stand for? Now, who encouraged you to move? No one. And anytime somebody cannot move, we are usually afraid and we want to check whether he's still alive or not. You push the person. You expect him to move by himself. If after pushing someone, the person is not able to move by himself, if it's a woman that pushed you, she'll put her hand on her head and she'll scream, Mogbeo. Say, Mogbeo. They raise an alarm. You remember Yoruba film? They will carry the hand like this. They will throw it up. The hand, you should be able to control the movement of the hand. And when they do that 3 times and you can no longer move it by yourself, then she will move her own hands and put it on her head and scream. And everybody will move and come and check that which is not moving. What does R represent? Respiration. The day they get oxygen and put it to your nose, they tell the prayer warriors to start praying. Because something, you are no longer doing that thing by yourself. And then we are not sure if you will still remain alive. What's the next one? Nutrition. This one is so powerful. Are we together here? Very powerful. They say we should eat 3 times a day, but some of us can do 5, 6. And do you know one of the signs that you are sick is the loss of appetite? And of course, sickness is the younger brother of death. Are you getting this point? That the proof of life is a natural. It's a natural thing. So that's what he's saying here. That if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, which where Christ is. So it means that there is a location that Christ is. And salvation gives us the ability to go there. That salvation qualifies us to what? To go there and to experience it. So Christ is in, and Christ also told us that he's going to his Father's house and that there are many mansions there and that he's going to prepare a place for us. And then he described the place. He said that where I am, there you may be also. Are my friends here?
Yes,
and so the regeneration of your human spirit, which is what we call salvation, when your spirit comes alive, you now qualify for this. Now, an accident occurs if you are not desirous of this. Are you together with me?
Yes,
now, don't you think it's a bad thing for a soul not to be desirous of it? It's a very bad thing. Now, what about if a whole church is not desirous of this? Now, that's a disastrous church and a disastrous gathering, and that gathering is not unto the Lord. So you see, what makes the church is not the cross outside the building. Are we together here? It must be the energy and the pursuit of the souls inside the building. It is what is going on inside our hearts that determine whether the people are still God's people or they are the people of themselves. You know? And that's the real idea of democracy. Yes. So you can see that some churches are just a democratic setting. It's the government of the people, for the people, and by the people. And when you look at the content of prayer, you can determine if this is democracy or the God kind of life. When you check the prayer point, the prayer is for the people, by the people, from the people, to the people. About the people. And that's democracy. If the prayer is unto God, then you can understand that the kingdom of God is being established in that place. And you also, you can determine the type of life that you are living by the type of passion and pursuit that your soul is responding to. Are my friends here?
Yes, sir.
Now, the importance of what I'm saying is that there is the possibility of finding yourself without finding God does not exist. You don't get the point. So the problem is not that you are being bad to God, is that you have decided not to be alive. So it's not like you are living your life and you left God. It's that you have not found your life. The chances of living outside God do not exist. Because when he made you out of himself. So that without him, you cannot be. So whatever you are without God is a lie sold to your soul.
Yes, sir.
Now this lie that was sold to your soul is unto the end so that the government of Satan can have permanence in your life. So you see that a lot of us, our lives are currently on lease. And Satan is living there with demons. And the reason is that you cut off from God. Immediately you cut off from God, Satan has got a home. The home of Satan is a people that have left the Lord. Now, not just the people that have left the Lord, the people that are not seeking after the Lord. I want to ask if my friends are here.
Yes, sir.
Praise God. So if ye then be risen with Christ, then you have to do what? Seek those things. So we have the right to question your salvation by what you are what seeking. We have the right to question it. It's not enough to show us your baptismal card. A baptismal card is not important. We question it by what you are what seeking. If ye be risen with Christ, seek those things. So, but you see, the truth is, some people, though they have risen with Christ, an accident has happened in their salvation. Yeah. And some have not risen with Christ. But some have risen with Christ, but an accident has happened to them. And now they have been incapacitated. Are you together with me?
Yes,
and they are no longer seeking. Now, let me show you something that proves what I just said. That is in the scripture we read earlier in the book of Philippians chapter 3. When Paul began to discuss and tell us about his pursuit and his passion, which is to know the Lord and to come into, to attain the life that Christ has, talking about the fellowship of his sufferings and the resurrection life, which we just read, that I may know him, power of his resurrection and fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. If by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead, not that I have already attained or I'm already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ has laid hold of me. Now, let me say this. This Bible study that I'm doing in it has the ability, the way I'm teaching now, it has the ability to repair a soul that is not seeking. Yes. Both as I'm preaching and even in recorded form. Yes. You know, what we are recording now is preaching. What then Paul recorded is letters. And the letter is still bringing people alive. So that's why we need to listen to me. I need the soldiers of Christ to listen to me. That's why the media must breeze up and spread these words so that those who are dead can come to life. And those who are not sick, all some people need to listen to is a 30 seconds clip and they come back to life. And they can start the journey. Because some are not dead, they are in coma. Yeah. You just need to jack them up. Some are fainted. You need to slap them up. Then they come back to life. So we need to be aggressive in how we propagate the gospel. The messages, the clips. You don't need 1 hour. Some people with 30 seconds clip, they can be put on track. They're back. The next verse, please. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. If in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same room. Let us be of the same mind. Brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. Are you together with me?
Yes,
sir. Yeah. For many walk, so you can see, I wanted to talk about different people. I said some have never risen. Some have risen, but had a major accident. Are you together with me? So they are not seeking the things that are above. Now, some don't know they haven't risen. The reason is because they have affiliated with those who rose but have been accidented. So their introduction to the gospel is not seekers. So the first time they encountered the gospel, they didn't hear the gospel from a seeker. They heard the gospel from a man who rose but went through an accident. So Paul says, have us as pattern because we are seekers.
Yes.
If you keep us as pattern, your heart will be right.
Yes.
I don't know if I'm preaching here. Are you getting my point?
Yes, sir.
So the challenge we have is that we have a church, a crowd of people who their introduction to the gospel was not seekers that brought them in. The people who brought them in are accidented people. The people who brought them in are not seeking the things that are above. So they entered accidented. So such people are like tomato. You have to separate the good and the bad. You are not sure of their salvation.
Yes.
Because the person who saved them does not have a sure salvation.
Yes.
So in that crowd, you are not sure who is saved and who is not saved. In the early church, if you join the church, you are born again.
Yes.
In the book, if you immediately you attend service, you have entered, or you go back home.
Yes.
Everybody knows that you are saved. When it's time for persecution, they don't used to kill people mistakenly. They know who to kill. Right now, if there's time for persecution, the people persecuting the church will employ workers.
Yes, sir.
You know that, sir? The people persecuting the church now will get workers from church to help them persecute the church because they look more like persecutors than church members. So this big church that you think you are seeing is not big. This crowd you are seeing in the church is the ones who are not seeking the Lord. But there's another crowd. Well, that one is not a crowd. That one is an army. You see, a lot of Christians are more aware of going to heaven, the best of Christians in our days, of going to heaven as a reward and as better than going to hell. You see, but when you are a seeker, it's not about going to heaven. It's about facing the Lord.
Yes.
When you read the scripture, it's not about you made heaven. It's about you will face him and you will be judged for your works on earth. So it's not about I made heaven. It is those who are seeking this world that is still that seeking the world art. It's that prophet art that, No. That's why in the military, to be a soldier is not enough.
Yeah.
They will ask you, how? You see, there are soldiers who they have hung. The military itself killed them. They said during war, they turn back.
Yeah.
When general did not say turn back. What do they call them again? What do they call that thing? Deserters. What's the punishment?
Death.
Is that what they call mutiny? What's mutiny? Insubordination. Are we together, friend? Now look at this. Join in following my... Let's look at the ancient KJV. Give me the ancient KJV. Let's use it to dissect this. So be followers together of me and mark them, you see, because the katakata had already started even in days of Paul. But so you have to mark them which work as they have us for an example. You need to mark so you can see that it's not everybody we follow. We mark. Because you follow some people, you have accidents.
Yes. Definitely.
Have accidents. They won't allow you to seek the things that are above. Those ones will make you wake up to think, always thinking about money. Immediately you wake up, you are thinking money. You don't wake up to think Savior. You don't wake up to think my Redeemer, my Messiah. The next verse. For many walk. Huh? For many walk. So, you might think you are stagnant in life. You are not stagnant. There's a lot of movement based on what you are seeking. You can see that. It says many walk. Of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of cross, which is the transportation system for things above. That cross is the BRT. Without cross, you can't seek the things that are above. So he says there are many people, the way they walk, they are enemies of that cross. Because when you want to seek the things above, then there has to be a crushing of your will. That's the only way you can seek the things above. The enemy of seeking the things above is the enforcement of your will. I don't know if I'm preaching here. So say, there are enemies of the cross. Now don't forget, he's talking about people we should not follow. Now of course, if we are not to follow, if Paul has to say don't follow them, it must mean that there are people who stand in a position where people will follow them.
Yeah.
So he's talking about leadership.
Yeah.
So there are spiritual leaders who are enemies of the cross. Am I preaching here? And then he says, whose end is destruction? Whose God is belly? Seek the things that are above. No, they have an accident has happened. What they are now seeking is the belly. And whose glory is in their shame? What do? They mind. They mind everything. It means that their soul has been anchored to the natural thing. They are fixated to earthly things. It says, but our conversation, our real fellowship is where? In heaven. Now imagine a generation who have been castrated from engaging heaven. Like, they don't have the ability to engage heaven. This accident started with motivational preaching many years ago. This is where this accident happened. And those motivational preachers started by saying, don't be a 12 o'clock Christian. All those talks was to castrate a generation. Are we together here?
Yes, sir.
For our conversation is heaven. From whence also we look for the Savior. Huh? We are looking for the Savior. So you must mature. You must mature beyond all this new creation illiteracy. You get the point now? Because the Bible says we look for Savior. The man who does not know more than the new creation will say, you cannot look for a Savior. You already have him. He's in you. You don't understand. You think this thing is theory. It's a real thing. No. Jesus is not two verses in scripture. It's a real person. No. That has real mind, real thoughts, real behavior. Jesus can tell you, I'm not happy with you. Real, he will tell you real. He said, me and you are not in good terms, so. It will tell you, oh God, you are going to hell as you are behaving. No. Real God. I was in a vision one day. I've shared this earlier. And the Lord told me, he showed me one particular man who is my friend. He said, this man, don't follow him. And he showed me all the cities the man is going to. He said, don't follow him. And he showed me the spirit upon him. And in all those cities, wonders were happening. He said, those wonders is not by my spirit. He said, this is the spirit that is following. And he showed me where he got it from. He showed me the other man. He said, this is where he got it from. He said, what is here? He's operating here. He says, if you follow him, you are gone. Real. Our conversation is in heaven. From whence also we look for the Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned. So you can see it's not every vision that is to be the next CEO. Yes. Some people have other visions. Yes. The changing of body.
Yes.
Where else did you go and the talk is about the changing of body? That it may be fashioned unto his glorious body according to the working whereby is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Are we together here?
Yes.
So you can see Paul giving us a warning, you see, so that we do not lose our focus on things above. Are we together here? When a husband and wife lose these things, they will have a lot of things to fight about. Because there's fight on earthly things. On that place, in that place, there's no much fight. When you see that your quarrel have increased, it's because your focus has come down. That's why I tell those dating, Don't date idiots. And you yourself, don't be one. Don't date idiots. Stop dating girls who make useless statements. I can't marry a pastor. I can't marry a Jim Jim. If somebody is even calling you a Jim Jim Christian, you should tell yourself, I'm still far. Are you? I'm not even started. You see, I'm Jim Jim already. Don't date idiots. Don't be an idiot. Don't date girls that are angry that the gift you bought them is a Bible. The things we are talking about is too serious. Don't date girls who say Christian brothers are boring. They are not useful girls.
Yes, sir.
You're going to be dating tongue-talking Nicki Minaj. Don't date all those kind of... Don't date people who think it's boring for you guys to see once a week in church for prayers. What are you doing if you are not seeing once a week in church for prayers? What's the purpose of life if we are not ascending to Jesus Christ? What kind of life are you planning to live, boy? Are you sure you can accommodate all these demons you are pricing? I see the people, some people want to marry, and why do you want to marry this one? Listen, marriage, I don't know why I would always talk about marriage. I'm just tired of myself. I'm tired of myself. Marriage is not a must. To be unmarried is better than for your marriage to be your cross. And I'm talking to single ladies. I tell you the truth. And stop waiting to be married. And stop trusting God too much for marriage. Shut up. Stop that rubbish. Because people who don't know anything have married.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the reason you have not married is not because... It's just because it's not yet time. When it's time, it will be time. Stop giving yourself a headache over it. And stop trying to dress in a new way so that the boys can now see you. Because sometimes when you're not married, you behave as if your life has destroyed. It's just one aspect of life. There are many aspects of life. Marriage is just one that has not yet happened. What about the other things that is happening? Your career is going fine. Why not focus on that one? Those of us who are married are jumping from one counseling to another counseling because we don't even know how to walk the thing. We don't know how to walk the thing. Listen, there is nobody who is truly married here who has not wished they marry. None of us. The only thing is you must not say it out. There's nobody here. I said, why I go already marry like this? I said, why I go marry already like this? I love you. It's work. I'm telling you. 99% of people will tell you that their marriage is that place where they are practicing Christianity the most. Yeah. I believe God uses it to speed up your maturity. Yeah. o ni mo iwo to mo se tele o mo da ko mo se mo. Yeah. O madam ko mo se mo. For those who are not yet married, go and get messages, and you want to be married. Marriage is done based on knowledge. It's like math, chemistry, physics. It's a knowledge. It's not a feeling. It's not that because I love you, you love me, we'll be fine. No. It's not like because the marry who you love the most. It's not that I love you, you love me, but I don't want to be with you. Yes. It's not love. It's not. It's like knowledge. It's like knowing what's defined government. Government is like you have to know how to be married. And a lot of us take a lot of years before it dawns on us that we need to go and learn it. People keep fighting. They don't know. The reason it's not working is that you don't know how it. It's a knowledge. Your wife is not bad. You are not bad. You are just a marital olodo. Yeah. You are just olodo as in marriage. Then you need to go and sit down and go and find out the knowledge of marriage. When my marriage began to get better, it's not because I changed or she changed like that. We still have the same weaknesses, the same character. The character maybe changed little. But what happened is knowledge. I sent a message to one of my spiritual daughters, and I told her, after I sent the message, I pinned the message, I sent it to her again. I said, don't forget what I just said to you. Telling her how to relate with her husband. I said, you need to be sure and be careful that you are serving and worshiping him. Yeah. That's what I sent to her. And then she said, I think it's a line. It's not a line. I now pinned it. I said, this thing that I said, if you understand these two things that I said, everything will be fine. And then your carnal brain will think, I worship a man. Because I sense quiet. Only to serve and worship. Until you know those two things, until you know it, you will not be happy. Yeah. Until you know it. Heaven is waiting for, if you like, argue it. 10 years later, you will come there. Pastor D said something. She said, every other things were created by man. He said, but marriage was created by God. He said, there is nowhere you will find where they wrote. He said, everything, we know who invented light. He said, the thing we don't know, nobody has said is the one that invented is marriage. Do you know the name of the person that invented marriage? No. His name is God. So we need to go and find the formula he used to create it. Eh? You know, this guy gave us a lot of formula. What is that? What are his formula? There are many. MCS equals what? That's the law of what? Hello, sir. E equals what? What does E represent? Energy. What's M? What's C? I can see the speed. That's the law of what? It's an equation. Amen. I want you to tell me the formula of a particular law. Anyone you know. What's the law of motion? F equals MA. mass and acceleration. Olodo food is church. I thought it was only marital Olodos. Yeah, tell me one, Jerry. Ohm's law. What's Ohm's law?
V is equals to IR.
V?
V, yes. Voltage is equals.
What's V? Let me on the mic for him now. Yeah, now, Evie, Ohm's law. V is equals to? V represents what?
Voltage.
I go?
Current.
I don't go?
Resistance.
What does that law do? What is it about? What is it for? Current, Abby. Law of current. Praise God. Now, look at me, friends. Marriage was created by God. And he gave us the laws that govern it. And you are not consulted when he was formulating it. And he did not consider how you are currently feeling. But don't forget, the person who made this law is the person that created you. So he knows that the law fits you. Because he created you. But you are judging yourself by the fall. And the fall is telling you what you cannot do. But he is judging you by new creation.
Yes, sir.
So God can, you can do a lot of things you think you can't do.
Yes, sir.
If Sarah could do it well without new regeneration, then you can do better than Sarah. Yes. When in time you see Sarah talking to Abraham, you would think she's in a worship session. If you didn't enter the room and found out it was Abraham, you'll be shocked. Because the Bible says she called him Lord. And the reason why you think you are bringing yourself down is because you are maintaining a particular up that is not the God kind of up. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are as long. That's also a conditional this and that. One of the ways we are going to test whether you are truly Sarah's daughter is your ability to do this. If you can't do this, this one is not Sarah's daughter. She's Sarai. Let's go back to our scripture. Where are we? Huh? Huh? Are we together here?
Yes, sir.
Go to the previous verse. You know, where we are really going is Genesis 22. Yes. I'm laying the foundation for Genesis 22. Because we need to know how to navigate the spirit life. So whose hand is their destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame? Now they set their mind. They set it. On what? On earthly things. One of the things that God is doing to you now is that he's unhooking you, or unhooking your mind, and causing you to seek. All right, let's read. For our citizenship is in heaven, which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our citizenship is in heaven. So it's an abnormality for me not to be able to navigate that space. Because my citizenship is in heaven. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Now let's go back to Colossians. How many of you believe that deliverance is going on in the house? If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ seated on the right hand of God. Set your affection. Your what? Affection. On things above. So we can be affectionate about things that are above.
Yes.
It's not boring.
Yes,
I said it's not boring. It's can be, it's, we are affectionate about it. Affectionate. My son told me as I was coming to church today, he said, my teacher asked me if I want to be a traditional ruler. He said, and I told her, I don't want to be a traditional ruler because I can't serve two God. Yeah. He said, I can't serve two God. He said, even the Bible says that you cannot serve mammon and God. I'm not paraphrasing. That's what he said. The mother sent me a video. In the video, he said, in school today, a girl told me that she loves me. He said, I asked her, is it Webster love? I have the video in my phone. He said, I asked her, is it Webster love or Jesus love? He said, if it's Webster, it's useless. Are we together, friends? I'll play the video for you. Set your affection. It means this thing is also fun. It excites us. I was in the bathroom today. I called my wife. That's all I come. And I told her, this is how I told her a particular project we're on. This is how we're going to do it. You know why? I was having my bath. And complete direction hit me. And I said, I just think this is how we're going to do it. He said, wow, I think it makes sense. That's how we live life. Because our citizenship is in heaven. We can't be confused for long. When you understand spirit life, you will be interrupted. And they will bring impute to you and say, this is how to do it. We are not trying to say, we're not giving options and say choose one out of the three. We are telling exactly what life is. We know it, we have found it. And we have been anointed to declare it. We're not telling you what you will drop and get the better one tomorrow. No. It's not a brilliantly concocted idea. It is what we found in walking with Jesus. It's not an exciting dissecting of scripture. Now, that happened many years ago. We dissected scripture many years ago. And then after a while, we found ourselves in the spirit. The day I started living spirit life, I know the road I was in. When it dawned on me, I've entered the spirit. And I've been navigating and understanding spirit life. And everything around my life blossoms. Everything blossoms. Because I can breathe on everything. Loss is a mystery to me. Anytime I experience loss, I go into retreat. I'm so extreme about it. I think, what happened? I investigate. I don't know how not to pray about everything. I I said, God, please now. This thing, I like it. Let help me. I even pray for people who don't know me. I'm telling you, there are people I like. I pray for them. Yeah, Mourinho is one of them. I pray for Jose Mourinho regularly. When I'm praying, I pray for Jose Mourinho. Yeah. I like him so much. I pray for his salvation. I pray for his student regularly. He's in my prayer. Today, I still trusted God that God still gave him one chance for a great club. I prayed about it. Yeah. There's nothing non-spiritual for me. There's nothing I don't talk to God about. I prayed for, today I still spoke to God about Mourinho. I said, God, help Mourinho. I like Davido. Davido. I like him. I pray for him. I like the way he respects people. The way he used to greet people, Dobale, I like it. So I pray for Davido. I said, God, let him meet you. I like Davido. All life is in the spirit. All life is in the spirit. It's you that know who is sinner, who is not sinner. That's you. It's you that know sinner. May I'm praying for everyone to get saved. If sinners so if God is so irritated by sinners, there will not be John 3:16. The very premise of John 3:16 is the expression of God's affection for a dead world and sinners. For God so loved the world, not the saved people. So the attention of God is directed towards sinners. So if you don't have a passion for them,
yeah.
Where are we? Which scripture are we in? Colossians. Don't worry. Don't stop planning the time for me and say, when will he now start? The one God told him, gong gong. I know some of you are thinking like that. Canal lots. Don't worry. So we're meant to set affection, right? So it's not boring, right? Oh, it's not boring. You know what's going to happen to you from this glory moment here? Waking up in the midnight will become normal to you. You just can you call my GLU? Tell me about in sick and wait key on my bami sorrow. And the thing is, you won't know when I'm seeking God. Even sometimes my wife will not know. It's when she sees my face, Jomabinu. Maso for me. The thing will just come, I'm seeking him. You might think I'm seeking the Lord. There is, we don't lock. The thing don't lock. And I'm just seeking him. Download is going on. So our affection can be on things above. You know, that's what the Lord is saying to me. He's saying that he's baptizing us with a fresh affection for the realm of the Spirit. Yeah. Actually, in that thing called affection, it's like dew. And then as I'm preaching, the thing is entering the room. Yeah. It's like dew. It just entered the room and then it's resting. It's very beautiful. It's not harsh. It's resting on your souls, and then it's redirecting your appetite. What you thought you really liked, you don't like again. Jonathan. When this thing comes upon you, nobody will tell you, don't watch Big Brother, don't watch Small Brother, all those things. You will never hear me preach all those kind of messages. You know, some messages are just a waste of time.
Yeah.
Me, I know you should preach message. I know you should preach what is trendy. What's my business? If me that I did not preach, I don't used to preach resurrection message on Easter. Even what is trending in our kingdom, I don't used to preach it. I've never preached a resurrection message on Easter Sunday before in my life. I don't know what it is. I just about the minimum appreciate. I can do love seminar on resurrection Sunday. I can do it. I don't know what's called Valentine's Day. It's not like I have a problem with those who do it too. I don't have a problem with it. So, me, I don't know what's... I don't used to argue stupid arguments. You see, quarrels is always, it's luxury. For you are dead, and your life is hid with what? With Christ in God. So you see that that life, God has gone to hide it. That's all. You can't say you are living the life when you did not find Christ. Because the life, they hid it in Christ. I remember those days in my, when I was growing up, they used to do a sport during summer for the children. They would hide a lot of gifts in the estate. They would hide gifts and then give us a list of parables to tell us where the gifts are in the old estate. Then all the children will now be looking for it for days. And some of the gifts is money, toys. That's what we use our summer for. It depends on where you grew up. For you to understand this play, I was like, they'll hide all the gifts. So all the children will have the list of the parables, and they'll be reading it. Those were the things. There were two things we did those days. The first one is there's something we do, a Bubba job or what do we? There's something we call it. I've forgotten the name. You go to somebody in the, you go to your neighbor's house, everybody in the estate, the children, and you tell them you have come to work. So they will give us jobs to do. We'll wash soccer ways and do stuffs, do the chores of the house. Then they give us money. And then we'll begin to save the money for school. Or, you know, just... Then the second one is they hide stuffs. You see, it's meant to be for fun, but some of us who were living in the estate then, that particular one is not for fun. It's major. It was lifeline. Because we were mistakenly living amongst wealthy people. That's a story for another day. I don't know if my friends are here. So that life, it has been... So whatever life that you are living, that you did not find in Christ, is a lie. It's not a life. There's no F there. It's just a lie. It's a lie. And the enemy wants you... You know, one of the adjectives used to describe sin is deceitfulness. They use deceitfulness to describe sin, and they also use deceitfulness to describe riches. Why? So that you can perpetuate a direction that is inaccurate without you knowing. Because if you knew, it would have been easy for you to turn back. Am I preaching here? So life is hid where? In Christ. So that's why we must seek those things that are above. Because that's where we'll find life. Not just like the life he's talking about is your life. Your own life. So you are not enjoying your life. What you are enjoying is your death. Because for you are dead. Which is another type of life. Yeah, dead and your life. So if I have $1 billion now, right now, and maybe I'm selling cars, and in Christ, there's nothing like that in my life. I'm not enjoying. I'm dying. So a lot of people who are dying are receiving awards. You can be on magazines and you're dying. Are we together here?
Yes, sir.
So your life is hid with Christ in God. Let's see. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear. So you can't appear until Jesus appears. So we need to press him for him to appear.
Yes.
Because if he doesn't appear, you cannot appear. So whatever appearance you think you are appearing now, we must ask you, who appeared for you to think you can appear? Now, it might be the enemy that appeared. And you are appearing in that order. Now, you remember when let's see something. Go to Genesis 22. And it came to pass after these things. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Are you blessed? Oh, thank you, my Jesus. Who will say thank you, Jesus?
Thank you, Jesus!
You know, I see, God, the Lord says, and I see it, there is foundational restoration. There is a man and a woman here. God is restoring. It was a man I saw. God is restoring you from your foundation. Tonight. 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 It's a complete turnover like this. Yeah. And we have, people have tried, it didn't happen, but tonight it happened. Complete turn. Now, I want you to increase your attention, because we are now getting to the crux of the matter. It came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. Amen.
Amen.
From our understanding of God and our knowledge of God, the word tempt here is not tempt as per temptation. It's about its try. As per purification. Praise God. And I said unto him, Abraham. And he said, behold, here I am. You know, God is giving us breakthrough in these 21 days where when you read scriptures like God said to Abraham, and God said, Abraham, where are you? It won't be strange to you. Because you would have your own moments that way also, where God talking to you will be a normal thing. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Now, it said, take now thy son, thine only son, even though Ishmael had been born. Now, the reason why Isaac has to be the only son was because Ishmael was born out of death. Your life is hid in Christ. So the world will tell you Abraham has a son, Ishmael. Heaven says Abraham has one son, Isaac. Are we preaching here? So it's not like you can't do anything when you are dead. It's just that what you do cannot live before God. So the plan is not to have a life full of activity. The plan is a life to have a life that counts before God. Are we together here? A life that what? Counts before God. So, what will help you is this. You need to readjust and check those you are lining behind. Because a lot of us are lining behind dead people, and they are giving us examples that are worthless examples. So those you lined behind are motivating your actions. If you can change that line and line behind those who are alive.
Are we together here?
So that you can understand that the competition you think exists, exists among the dead. Exist among the dead. Are my friends here? Whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I would tell thee of. Now, we see here that this conversation is such a very strange conversation. Because one, we see a God who is the giver of life asking for the death of a human being. And not just the death of a human being, asking a father to kill his own son. Now, what my point here is not to buttress the fact or to buttress that God talks nonsense. That's not my point. My point here is that we can have a type of engagement with God that we do not control what God can say to us. You see, whenever you are in charge and you have things God can say to you, it's because you have created yourself as God and you are the one talking to yourself. You see, but we must engage the true God himself that can decide to talk to us whatever he wants to talk to us about. That's the true life that's in the spirit. The life that's in the spirit, God is the author and the finisher of that life. Are my friends here?
Yes, sir.
And get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. Beautiful, right?
Yes, sir.
So it means that God speaks. Now, I'm not only talking about Abraham. I'm picking Abraham as an icon and to describe to you the possibilities that exist in your walk with God. That you are going to have a walk with God where the voice of God and the purposes of God is the dominant reality of your life. Like God is the weight upon which your actions proceed from. God is the center of it. Now, not just that God is the center of it, that God brings you to a place where you can enjoy details of life. Don't believe that God don't give details. I said, God gives details. I said, God gives details. And as we walk with him in faith and in confidence, he will give us the details of our lives. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Because we are coming to those seasons now. In the next few years, we are coming to seasons of details. You are not going to be confused. You are not going to say, I think I'm not. No, no. You will just know. It's just natural to you. Now, Abraham did not go and meet prayer warriors to find out, did I hear God? Did I not hear God? Did I? No. It was such a natural communication. Friends, see what happened the next day. And Abraham rose up early in the morning. And saddled his ass. Early in the morning. Now, see how alive a man is. The way he responded here, you will not think this is the greatest challenge of his life. This communication should be the greatest challenge of his life. And took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. Now, I was studying and I found that Isaac here was not a teenager. Yes, because the previous verse spoke about how Abraham dwelled in the land of the Philistines for a very long time. Years. And that was before the sending of Ishmael. And when Ishmael was sent, he was already in his teenage years. And that was when Abraham was being weaned. It was after that Isaac was being weaned. It was after that Abraham spent a lot of years in the land of the Philistines that now brought us. So scholars tell us that he was in his either late 20s to early or late 30s, Isaac here. It was not a small boy. Praise God. And there was a serious civilization that was going on in that home. I showed you some months ago how the Bible recorded what led to the sending away of Hagar and Ishmael. And the reason was because in the book of, I think it was the previous verse, that's verse 21, when Isaac was being weaned, the Bible told us that Ishmael was mocking. How does a small boy in his teenage years already know how to mock? So you can see the type of teachings that, not just teachings, impartation. Because you see, mocking is not, it's not a small thing. You have to have a type of soul. Am I preaching here?
Yes,
to even know that mocking exists. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, which she had born unto Abraham, doing what? Mocking. I tell you, the nature of Abraham, the nature of men, do not have the ability to pick these devils. And this is how many men get into trouble. When their wives are picking devils, they will say their wife is overreacting. You see, when your wife picks a devil, just listen to her. She picks things you won't pick. Because the level of your battle is another level. You are not meant to pick those things. So when your wife tells you something, just listen. So don't say you are just be over until you are taken out. Even if you don't agree with her, make sure you look into it and be careful. If your wife tells you that's your friend, be careful. Two things. She either has an information that she doesn't want to divulge to you because she has to tell you how she got it. And how she got it might be contrary to the rules of the family. I will not ask if I'm correct. The second thing is the gracious instinct that God has blessed the woman with. The woman is a natural intercessor. Why is she a natural intercessor? Because her emotions are alive. And intercession has connection with emotions. Because you can't pray if you don't feel. And because the woman is a feeler, she has the nature of intercession. And when you are an intercessor, you receive information. So when a woman tells you something, just listen to her. The worst one is when a woman tells you this person likes you. When your wife tells you this girl likes you. That girl actually likes you. Yes. The woman says this girl likes you. What happened? The girl likes you. Don't say you are just no. She know. Because she knows when she likes you. Your wife knows when she likes you or likes someone. So she has to know. I saw Bolaji playing table tennis today. And he beat some of them. Some of them beat Bolaji. He beat some of these old men that are here. Yes. They had to use Ojoro. Now, it's not his ability to play that struck me. When he was playing, what struck me is his focus. And I knew that this boy will be a great boy. Why? Because I'm a great person. And I know the ingredients of greatness. I could see the boy's focus. As they were ailing him, he did not enter his brain. I said, this is a dangerous boy. I saw beyond table tennis. I said, this one is going somewhere. People who are not going anywhere, people who are going nowhere, usually are going many places. Let's go back to 22. Are you here? And Sarah rose up Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his horse and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and cleaved the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Praise God.
So that day, except you are also in the spirit, you cannot understand Abraham's behavior. Because Abraham was not making an economic decision. He was making a pure spiritual decision. Say, where are you going? Where God told me to go. And that is how you will live your life. You will start going to where God told you. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place. Because God told him, I will tell you the exact mountain. But when he got there, he lifted it and that was the place. Yeah. Yeah. This is the life you are going to live. Your witness will be strong. The days of trial and error are over. They're over. I have to prepare you and launch you into this space. It's not difficult. You just know. You just know, okay, this is where I'm married. This person I'm marrying. Say, oh, this is I don't even know. I go to like a meter. This is the person I'm married. I just love you. So why do you love me? I just feel God want me to love you, so I chose to love you. This is the person I'm married. This is where I'm going to. This is what I'm going to do. When we are living beyond our senses, we are living, you know, by the inspiration of God. You see, the days of where Christianity becomes something you put aside and over, it becomes the center of your life. He lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. I tell you, you begin to see places afar off. Just begin to know. Your soul is coming back to life. It's coming. You know the amount of stupid mistakes a lot of us have made? Stupid mistakes. We have stayed with people that we should have left for long. Because we didn't know. We have gone to useless places. We have wasted time. But you are no longer wasting time. Oh. You are no longer wasting time. No more. And you are not living, you are not being spooky. You are not saying the Lord said, you are not, you won't mention the Lord said. You just say, I just think this is what I should be doing now. I don't know. I'm talking about spooky people who tell you the Lord said it five times. And the Lord said, I did not said anything. And Abraham said unto his young men, praise God. Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the land will go yonder and worship. You can see that worship is to follow God. Life in the spirit is worship. And worship is movement. You have to go yonder. You have to go where not everybody is going. You have to do what not everybody is doing. To worship is to obey the commandment of one person, regardless of what everybody is doing. So there can't be worship without movement. There can't be worship without decision making. Are we preaching here? There can't be worship without making decisions because this is how the Lord wants me to do it. That's worship. This is you wait here. And listen, I can't bring you into the depth of my worship. I can show you the pattern of it. But everybody has a yardstick that God has measured for him. So he said, you see, the old journey from the beginning is worship. But it got to a point. The worship was about to climax. He said, the two of you wait. Me and the child will now go yonder to worship. I've shown you the pattern. Now you can go your own yonder. Are you together with me? So what does that mean? It means that we're going to have a church that not only the preacher has an experience with God, everybody has an... You see, as I'm speaking, you are understanding. Not just you understand with your brain, but you are also experiencing it. Not just the preacher having experiences. Everyone also knows how to go yonder to worship. Because everybody was going this place, and God told you go that place. And you went yonder to worship. Your old family was telling you to deal with your wife. But the Holy Spirit told you to love your wife. And you turn from what culture says. And you pull, that's worship. Hey! Oh my goodness. And whenever there is worship, there's encounter. When there's worship, God appears. God is waiting on your worship so he can give you a visitation. The visitation is at the other side of worship. If you turn back, God turns back also. Worship is the venue of that party between you and God. If you turn back, God turns back. Say, I am the lad. Go. And he was correct. He's not just taking the lad to worship. The lad is also worshiping. Because that guy was not a child. The guy no waiting the sup. Not just a baby. We're talking of somebody that is in his late 20s. He's not a mumu. If his elder brother at teenage years knows how to mock. And come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. You see. He was communicating with him. And he took the fire on his hand and a knife. And they went both of them together. So it means that it was not by force Isaac went. Isaac, they went both of them. They were taking the decision together. Let's read. And Isaac spoke unto Abraham his father and said, my father. He said, here I am, my son. And he said, behold. Behold the fire and the wood. Arigi. Arishana. Where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Where is the lamb? Daddy. Behold the wood. Yeah, we see wood. We see wood. We see fire. Where's the lamb? Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they both of them together. So went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order. And bound Isaac, his son. Don't forget that Abraham here is over 100 years old. One blue. If Isaac, if your father tie you, will you tie? And you're talking about tea, right? It's not like Abraham has Samson's strength. He had become a very old man here. And he bound. This is an Old Testament description of the reality between God and Jesus Christ himself. Jesus Christ also willfully gave himself. That's why Abraham is the father of the New Testament faith. Because he perfectly mirrored and exemplified what God will eventually do. Are we together here? This was what made it a must for Jesus to come. If Abraham, who is man, can do it, I must do it. This was the test run of the software of salvation. This was the first time that software was introduced to the earth. It was the first usage. This was where they first used that software of one dying. Of a father taking out his son for the redemption of the world. And so the salvation of the world was not just God's decision. It was Jesus' acceptance. And bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And his son was watching. So sometimes life in the spirit looks like a great risk. Until you allow God to take you to that place where it looks like you are risking it all, you cannot find yourself in the other side of resurrection. Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Friends, God is calling us to worship. And they say, you need to move in obedience. And the angel of the Lord called unto out of heaven. I said, Abraham, Abraham. He said, here am I. Lay not thy hand. Oh my goodness. Can we take like 30 seconds and just minister to the Lord? I'm not preaching again for tonight. Can you minister to the Lord? Minister to the Lord. We'll pick it up tomorrow. The Lord has said enough to us. I and the Lord, we go yonder to worship. We lead a life of worship. Upward ascension in obedience to Jesus. Arakatala dia zumeleke tomasha. Eleke tobereke dia suverebika. Find him. You are going to find him. You will receive grace to move yonder, to go farther than where the world is willing to go. You are going far with Jesus. You are going all the way with Jesus. Not when you die, right here on the earth. Let a new affection, let it rest upon your soul. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. There are baptisms that have started already. And we don't know how. We can't predict how it will go. I tell you, it's a believers' meeting. We don't know how it will go. And if you want to stay behind to pray, I'm sure that the auditorium will still be open for prayers. You know? I'll continue the teaching tomorrow. There is a weight of God's glory in the house. The Lord bless you. Rest well. Yeah, we're done. Rest well.